اهلا وسهلا مرحبا.
مركز صحابه اون لاين راديو امباورينج ذا يوم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners of مركز صحابة, the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة. Let's welcome مفتي فرحان كراني. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته مفتي سعد.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله. Today is first of ذو الحجة here in South Africa. I think الحمد لله. Even myself who struggles normally to see the moon, even if someone shows me. But yesterday, alhamdulillah, when I just came out of the masjid, we saw the moon of Dhul Hijjah. And alhamdulillah, these 10 days have set in. Mufti Saab.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me, Mufti Saab?
Yeah, I can
hear you. So I was just saying about the moon that... A person like me, normally I struggle to see it, but yesterday, alhamdulillah, we saw it. And these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah have now set in. And it's strange. I was just speaking just now to Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman also in Pakistan. Yesterday, our Imam here in Lanesia also, Masjid Umar Farooq, he said someone came to him and they said, we didn't know the importance of these 10 days. And it's strange because... This is something that you expect people just to know, but of course, maybe due to certain reasons, person was modern or something before, wasn't attached to so many people, were linked to the deen, and now they so different people. But alhamdulillah, these 10 days have many benefits in it. And Mufti Saab, you can share with us your advice also.
And very, very visible, alhamdulillah. So, here in South Africa, we sighted the moon last night during the third of Hijjah. I believe in Saudi, they sighted the moon the day before. So, May Eid al-Adha sentence, the Hijjah will be on Friday next week. And I was with young Saturday, inshallah. So, the days of Eid are 3 days, and the 10th of the Hijjah. 11th of the Hijjah and the 12th of the Hijjah. So there's 3 days a person has to make Udhiyah, or it's called Qurbani. And so if a person does not make his Qurbani on the first day, then he still has the second day and the third day. So there's some misconception that the person can't slaughter at night. There's nothing wrong with slaughtering, totally permissible, slaughtering at night, provided that there is enough lighting and you can see the animal properly and you don't give the sleep to the animal and slaughtering and you cut all the veins and everything, all the requirements are met, no problem, you can slaughter during the day and night. You can start slaughtering from after the Eid Salah, if you're living in a town, city, after Eid Salah, you can slaughter. Right after the 12th Dhul Hijjah, for us will be on Monday, after. It will be the last weekend slaughter. For a person who is, so a person who is living in, outside of the, a city or town where there's no, Jummah Salah taking place in a farm area, there you can slaughter from after to the Sadiq. And even slaughter his animal from after to the Sadiq. So if a person from the city takes his animal or has his animal slaughtered in the farm where there's no Jummah taking place, and he slaughters it there after to the Sadiq, like after the Fajr time, then it will also be, so even before, before Fajr, before Eid Salah, it can be slaughtered, it's done in the farm area. The other masala is that on the day of Eid, if the person has the nisab of zakat, if the person has the nisab of zakat on the day of Eid, then it is wajib for him to slaughter a qurbani animal. So the Qurbani animals that one is allowed to slaughter is a sheep, a goat. The sheep, or you get all different kinds of sheep, merino sheep and all other kind of sheep. And so the sheep that the Rasulullah slaughtered is was a white sheep with a black head. And he had black on his stomach and he had black on his feet. And so that was the type of sheep Nabi Fasim slaughtered. So if you can, you must try to get a sheep of that kind with a black head and black feet. And they are called dorsal, dorsal sheep. Then you can slaughter a goat also. And the sheep and goat, okay, now sheep, it must be at least 1 year. But if the sheep is 6 months old and it is the size of a 1 year old sheep, then it's called a lamb, right? So you can slaughter a 6 month old sheep, which is the size of a 1 year old sheep. With regard to goats, the goat has to be 1 year old. It cannot be 6 months. It must be 1 year and above. Then you can slaughter, cattle, cows, bulls, right? Those must be at least 2 years old. And that, now how will you know whether this animal is 1 year or 2 years? Through the teeth. By way of the teeth, you will see, the farmers know how to see this. Normally they have like 2 teeth and they're 1 year old. So, cattle, cows and bulls will be, 2 years old. Then a camel, you don't make ubhiya for camel, you make nahar for camel. And so there's a difference. Nahar of the camel must be at least 5 years old. 5 years old camel. And how do they make nahar of the camel? Nahar means they stab the camel, so they don't slaughter it. Because Allah Ta'ala has made the camel in a very unique way. And every bone in the camel's body is not aligned, it's crooked. And there's only one way to kill a camel, and that is to stab it in the neck from underneath. So what they do is they tie the front leg of the camel, and then the person goes underneath and he stabs the camel with a dagger in a certain place in the neck. And when he removes it, the blood just flows out and the camel drops down. So why do they tie the leg so that the camel doesn't run away? So the camel will drop. Once its blood is coming out, the camel will drop. So that is nahar of a camel. So one can slaughter anyone in the buffalo, water buffalo is also included in this year, under cattle. So any one of these animals, one can slaughter for qurbani. The animal itself, what kind of an animal must it be? It must be a nice, fat animal. It mustn't be a thin animal, mustn't be a thick animal, mustn't be a blind animal. The ears must be perfect. It mustn't be that one ear is cut off, or more than one third of the ear is cut off. The tail must be intact, intact tail. The tail mustn't be cut more than one third. It must be walking on all four legs, and it must be healthy. So because this animal you sacrifice for Allah Ta'ala, you must make sure this animal is the best animal that you can afford. You shouldn't look for the cheapest, most prized animals just to get the qurbani done. We should put our hands in our pocket and dig deep to find the best animal. And two sheep. They were castrated. So when the sheep is castrated, it becomes bigger and it gains more weight. So it must have horns also, and better to have horns. Because all these things, all these factors, they will weigh on our scales on the day of Qiyamah. But that sheep that has horns, it holds more weight, as if it has more weight, and the horns must be also full. When I was choosing my sheep, and I saw one, the one I liked, but the one horn was broken. And so I said, no, you can't stop it, this one. You have for qurbani, you do it yourself or something, but not for qurbani, because the horns must be intact. If the horns are broken off, like from the root, and like it didn't have any horn, then you can stop it. But if it had a horn and it's broken off and it didn't, but can't stop it, sheep or goat, maybe. Before we slaughter the animal, make sure that we treat the animal with dignity. Some people, you know, especially children, they want to have fun on the day of Eid. But day of Eid, the qurbani, or udhiyah, is an ibadah. An ibadah, a great ibadah. It's Ibrahim al-Islam, which is Ibrahim al-Islam, under the command of Allah Ta'ala, to sacrifice him. And Allah Ta'ala then sent a ram from Jannah in view of Ibrahim al-Islam being prophet. So this is an ibadah, and we are imitating the actions of Ibrahim al-Islam. So it's not a day of merrymaking and jumping castles and fish and stalls and pop-ups and all these things. It's going for the Qurbani, do the Qurbani, and go home. And we mustn't be there intermingling there, men and women, and everything is just against the Sharia. Then what kind of ibadah are we doing? And our ibadah is to slaughter the animal. So when you bring in the animal, don't drag the animal. Don't cause the animal to be chase the animal, frighten the animal, ride the animal. Or let's say you're causing the to the animal. It's not becoming of a human being to treat the animal like it. So you bring the animal with respect. You carry the animal, it's too big, now you can't carry it, so you pull it nicely with a rope around his back or something, you pull it nicely, or you know, hold it like four legs and make it walk a bit faster and bring it there. Make sure that if there was animals before that they were slaughtered in the pen, then make sure the blood is all washed away. And then the other animal is not there. So for this animal to see, and there must be like a kind of seclusion for that animal. Go inside the pen, lay down nicely, give it some water to drink before, and make sure your knife is sharpened from before. Read your dua, the dua before slaughtering. إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا من المسلمين. So we must learn this dua. We have 10 days to learn this dua. It's a Muslim dua. Every year we go there with the kitab and give the dua. You know, we must try to learn the dua, so we don't need the kitab and we go there. The answer the same with kitab there. Making sure of this dua before you go into Sasa. And so try to memorize this dua, very easy dua. So it can be no Quran for you. So memorize this dua. Then immediately after we read this dua, then we say Bismillah Allah. But make the intention for whom you're slaughtering this animal. If it's a cow, then you must make sure that you mention all the names of the people whom you're slaughtering for. And then Bismillah Allah Akbar. And you slaughter the animal. Make sure that you say Bismillah Allah. Many times the person is excited or he's scared or he's anxious and forgets to read Bismillah Allah. And so make sure I read Bismillah Allahu Akbar. And slaughter, how do you slaughter the animal? Make sure you find where the veins are. So under the neck, for a sheep, you must, the wool is must thick. Then you have to first separate that wool there. And then, once you get like through that wool, then it's very easy to slaughter. Once it's nice and fish up, but once it's soft, slide. You'll slaughter very easily. So there's four veins of the animal, two jugular veins, one windpipe, one foot pipe. So at least three out of the four must be cut, severed, but all four, then all the better. Try to cut all four of the veins. Don't cut too much, too deep, that the animal now starts suffering, because, you know, some people when they're slaughtering, then what they do is, when you see the kunti, they say kunti, that bone in the middle of the throat, they stare it. They stare it like, oh, I don't know what you're trying. No, now remember the rule is coming out. And now you're killing the animal more quickly. So you must not stare the knife inside there. You don't need to do anything of it. Once the four veins are cut, you see windpipe is cut, the foot pipe is, you don't wipe the blood of the knife on the animal mouth. It's not nice to wash the blood out with water. taking a pocket or both sides of the body or something. And oh yes, before solving enema, make sure the enema is facing qibla. What you mean by facing qibla is like the leg will be facing qibla and the head will be on your left and side and the legs will be facing qibla. The swap of the enema in that way, facing the qibla. And then once the enema is slaughtered, then and that is the most humane way of slaughtering, of killing an enema. And besides of Kufan saying that no, it's not humane slaughtering, you know, slaughtering is like a big word, slaughtering. So they think that the animal is suffering. No, you must shoot the animal or shock the animal. And these methods, the animal dies before you slaughter it, and you're giving the feed to the animal. Makruh is reprehensible, and according to Umar, it makes the animal haram also. Shocking the animal and giving the animal the feed, like this here, faulting the animal with all the cattle in the head, and the animal dies before you even slaughter it. So the animal must be laid to rest a little bit, let it kick out all, the womb must come out, all the legs must kick out all, whatever energy and life it has inside, and massage the stomach a little bit, and you'll see the animal will kick. And within about 2-3 minutes, depending on size of the animal, sometimes the animal, you know, got so much of life inside, 5 minutes later, it's still kicking. And so make sure you kick out everything, and then only when you see the animal is cold, now, you kick on the leg there, the stomach there, you see that it's dead now. And now you can fight it up there, and you can start killing the animal. So that is about slaughtering the animal and killing the animal, and make sure that we must do all this in a dignified way, and obviously the standard. When people ask, can a woman also suffer? Yes, no problem. A woman can suffer. I should have suffered her own animal also. So, but obviously there must be standard, right? And a man mustn't be seen the lady suffering. And obviously the ladies can't see the men suffering also. You can find the ladies crawling around there, and everybody wants to see like what's happening here, how they're suffering there, and children must be in the mix there. So, ladies must be suffering, not the animals, they must not be out. Then after slaughtering the animal, right, now if it's a cow, or if it's a sheep or goat, it's one share. Right? If it's a cow with cattle, or camel, it's 7 share. Right, so one person can share, the sheep and goat is for one person only, so nobody else can share, only for one person. And the share is one share, individual share. If it's a cow or it's a bull or it's a camel, 7 share. Those animals have 7 share. So 7 people can share in that. And it's also permissible to share in a place in that Qurbani share. Right. Then when distributing the meat of the animal, distributing the meat of the animal must be, if it's a bull, a cattle, and camel, the solution must be equal. And so, for example, they say 700 kilos from that. It's highly unlikely 700 kilos, but anyway, just for example, 700 kilos, and everybody will get 100 kilos. Right? Now, for example, maybe somebody, you know, they want the mouth, somebody wants the brain, they say, okay, you want the head, no problem. Then you're not going to get that proportion of meat. Right? So, and somebody wants the paya, they want the leg, they say, fine, chuck in your paya there, but then you're not going to get meat. Right? Your share must be 1/7 of that animal. Right? So, but you have to make sure that everybody's share is equal. 1/7, 1/7, 1/7. If it's more, then it's like the riba, then you'll be eating into it. So, make sure that the shares are divided equally. When paying the workers for cleaning and that, you cannot pay them what the offal, we call your ojris, and then the payas and the head and whatever you don't want. You can't use that as a form of payment for their services. So you have to pay them, you have to agree before that, okay, we're going to pay you, for example, 50 rand for something that you've seen at 50 rand. So they know that this year is my payment for each animal. If you want to give that to them, and whatever part of the animal you don't want, example, maybe the head or the offer and all that, then you can give it to them, but it's not going to be a payment, it's not going to be a form of payment. Everything that's on the animal is part of the Qurbani. So even the rope around the animal's neck is also part of the Qurbani animal. With regard to those people who are doing Hajj, they will not be doing Qurbani, they will be doing, so there's three types of Hajj. That you get Haji Ifrat, Tamattu, and Firat. So for a Mufrid, one who is doing Haji, who is doing Haji Ifrat, for him, it's not wajib to stop it. But for a Mufrid and Mutamati, one who is doing Haji Qiran and Tamattu, they have to stop the Qurbani animal. They have to slaughter. Otherwise, their Haji will not be complete. So with regard to the Hajj, on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, so on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, they'll be in Arafah, and then they will spend the night in Muzdalifah, and after sunrise, they will then go to Mina. So there's four things to do there, on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. It's a very, very busy day for the Hajj. And this year, it's going to be on a Friday also. There'll be also, Jumu'ah Salah also there. So it's going to be very, very happy day. So, but, Rami, right, you have to felt all three jamaat there. Then you got nahar. After felting, you got nahar. You have to do the slaughtering or what you're going to slaughter, sheep or goats or all the animals are really there. The cattle, I don't think they do cattle there. They do camels, goats and sheep. Then after that, after you slaughtered, now you can do halak. Halak means shaving your hair. And for ladies to trim the hair, 2 fingers. So after that is done, those 3 things are done. You cannot go to Makkah to do the Tawaf Ziyarah until you have done all these 3 things here. Rami, Nahar, and Halaq. And after you finish Halaq, so once you slaughtered, you got information that your animal is slaughtered, then only you can shave your hair. Now, sometimes what happens is, a person is told that his animal is slaughtered, but he's not slaughtered. Okay? So you then are making a jinayat because you are now shaving your hair before your animal is slaughtered. Now where do they slaughter these animals? It's far, very far away from where the camp are. So you're just taking the word of the person who's telling you that the animal is slaughtered. Make sure you have reliable people there who inform you that your animal is slaughtered. Because sometimes it happens that the animal was not even slaughtered. Sometimes the backings go mixed up. The numbers go mixed up. And, one person came there, he said, no, my group, I need 100 sheep. I need 300 sheep. And then another person comes, whose sheep he brought? He brought somebody else's sheep. Right? Now, these people, as you know, they're abandoned. It wasn't your sheep. Now you have to make sure that the animal that you slaughtered was really yours. So these are the few materials pertaining to Qurbani. Inshallah, next week, inshallah, we will continue on other materials pertaining to Qurbani. There was just one point I wanted to mention. It's not about Qurbani. Now I was in a masjid, a few nights ago. That was there by the shoe rack. And the one uncle, he's putting his shoes on and he looks at me. Looking at me I'm thinking of what? You want to ask me something? You've seen something on me or what? Then he says, not many Muslims in the area. Not many Muslims in the area. The uncle has a lot of Muslims in the area. He says, why the masjid is so empty? Two stops for Isha Salah. Why is it so empty? Where I come from, the masjid is full. If you come for Isha Salah, the masjid, you have to read Salah outside. I say, okay, where you come from? I come from Gaborone, Botswana. Yeah, subhanAllah. Today is very, very sad. He's telling me it's sad. Very, very sad that the masjid are empty. Nothing again like this. There's no Muslims around this area. There's a lot of Muslims here. I mean, Jummah time is full. Yeah, Jummah time is full, but where's the Muslims the rest of the Salah? And so, a layman who, he's also punctual against Salah, and he's amazed that why is the masjid empty? And one of the problems he has is that we build two big masjids, and the masjid doesn't need, that area doesn't need such a big masjid, because there's so many masjids in the same area. So why must we waste like 50 million, 100 million on a masjid, where the masjid doesn't even get full, and people who donated money to the masjid, they're not even getting their reward for people reading in the masjid, because the masjid is mostly empty. So we must take this into consideration, that we must fill the masjid, and before Allah Ta'ala takes away the masjid from us, and then we try to go to the masjid and restore masjid for
JazakAllah khairan, Mufti Sahab, for those wonderful recap and revision of what to do, and all the masail also explaining it in detail, mashallah, and also this advice at the end. Make dua for us, Mufti Sahab. We'll meet you next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah. Welcome, ya Buddha.